The scripture is clear about the root of success and failure. So what I would like you to do is to look at Lamentations chapter 3. If you open your book in the middle, you get Isaiah or Song of Solomon, depending on how you slice it, and you keep turning right past Jeremiah to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, if you're looking at a Bible at the end of a row, you'll find in page 832. So Lamentations, just after Jeremiah. And then starting at verse 21, we'll read this. "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him." Look at verse 26. "It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it's laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust," which would be like cover your mouth with your hand, don't speak. "Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes. And let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever." But look at verse 32. Look at it hard. Remember this verse. "Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love." Who causes grief? You know, is it God? Is it the person who strikes and fills with insults? You have to decide when you read that. That could have been capitalized. Who causes grief? We'll blame ourselves, but where does it come from when what we do ourselves is judged and gets what it deserves? Who is the just judge and who is the righteous judge who metes out consequence for us? It is the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the hand of the Lord upon you that convicts you of sin. It's the hand of the Lord upon the unrepentant sinner that brings condemnation. Don't think that it's not God. "Though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love." Verse 33, "For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men." When God does afflict, it doesn't come from his heart. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. But look at verse 34. "To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve." Who has spoken and it came to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Thank you, Jeremiah, for that in Lamentations. So, you know, I really like to sing the song, "New Every Morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O Lord." To have you sung it through the tears of realizing what you have wrecked. Have you sung it through the tears of realizing the person wrecking it is across from me and I have to deal with them? Chances are you've been both of those characters. Wrecking and being wrecked by. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. He will deal with them and he will deal with us. Nobody gets away unscathed. You can't be a so-and-so and say, "But I'm a Christian." Right, God? Let me off the hook. He deals with us. This only good God who wants to do good for his children is forever committed to that. Only good, good for his children. He is also uncompromising in this. Only good will stand. Anything that counters good will be dealt with, even when it's us. And we are not always good. God loves you, but his holiness cannot compromise. Only the good can survive before our uncompromising God. Nothing happens that God does not allow, and God allows free will and bad choices. But God does not leave evil unchecked. You know that that's true about him. You recognize it. He says through the prophet Jeremiah, I am watching over my word to perform it. Everything God says he will do, he will do. Now, you not, as I do, enjoy praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I relish those words. Jesus taught me those words. He taught you those words in Scripture. God is good. God is faithful. God is for you and not against you. But God's committed to good. God is committed to faithfulness. God hates sin. God will transform the earth through his good news. God's will be done. Right? We all agree about these things. If the system is built on injustice, it will fall. We like that when, you know, evil empires in the past have been dispatched, right? If our wealth is built on the suffering of others, it will fail. Everyone with a touchscreen phone likes a touchscreen phone, but where does the mineral come from in that touchscreen phone? Well, from Africa. And if you look for, you know, that kind of social justice perspective, if you want fair trade telephones, well, I think you might do without touchscreens. But would you? And so, if we're part of a system that is gobbling up the resources and the well-being of other people, should God say, well, you know what, 4 billion of you really want phones, so if you have to step on the neck of these folks, I understand. Is that justice? Okay? I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do, because it really, you just buy a phone at the store. Hi, could I have a phone, right? But the people who are making them know where it comes from. So who's going to answer for who knows? And I'm sorry to put a bug in your head now, because now you know. What will you do? But these are the facts. Our God will have good followers. If we sin, it will be found out and exposed. He makes us to know good, and he trains us to follow him. God will deal with people who wreck the world for the rest of us. God will deal with us if we are people who are wrecking the world. God cannot allow our self-wrecking behaviors to flourish. There's another idea. So, people doing stuff bad, bad, bad. Me, when I'm causing bad, bad, bad to others, God's going to deal with. Self-wrecking behaviors cannot continue. Oh, well, nobody gets hurt. It's just you're just an adult making a choice. I'm an adult making a choice. It's just me. Leave me to myself. No, God says. No, I will not leave you to yourself. I'll not leave you to your alcoholism, which, let's be honest, is affecting others. I'll not leave you to your sexuality, which, let's be honest, is just between you and another. God will not let those things flourish. Our rebellion is like a spiritual suicide that God will do anything to avert. If you knew someone in this season who was suffering and who was in dark, dark places, you wouldn't leave them to themselves, would you? If you knew somebody that was doing something self harmful, you wouldn't say, oh, well, they're grown up, they're making their own choices, and leave them to it. And God wouldn't do that to us.